Hey, Matt, we got a killer show today. You know, we're going to talk about GM being told they got to make ventilators.
Yeah, we can go through some truck stuff. My truck stuff, your truck stuff.
Truck stuff. Sounds good. And before we get going, I want to, you know, I mean, do you rent your place or do you own?
Yeah,
you live there. Do you own or rent a home? Yeah. Hey, sure you do. And I bet you can be hard. It can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or your renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. See how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Let's get rolling with Shift and Steer.
Now on Podcast One, we present Murder in the Family.
True crime is stranger than fiction.
Hosted by Geraldo Rivera.
For this talented actor, the years that follow these horrific crimes,
dynamic family bond.
At one point, you hear this shot being fired.
Ultimately, it was classified as an accidental shooting.
Murder in the Family. Available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and wherever podcasts are available.
Rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, 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 we are at Shift and Steer. It's going on. Matt is here. I am here. Aaron's missing in action. Matt, I hope there's nothing wrong with him.
I think he's okay. I think he's trying to find a cell phone connection someplace in his shop, so hopefully he will connect with us.
He said he was going to be there. He said he was out in his shop, so I bet we'll get a call interruption at some point, and it'll be Aaron going, oh, man, yeah, that's right. So, shit, I'm still at the grocery store. Misha gave me a big list. I wasn't watching the time. I'm so sorry, guys. So that's where he's at. So I guess it's
so
just
basically
us.
He's buying toilet paper.
Yes, exactly.
That's what I'm gathering.
Yep. So
he's on a toilet paper mission.
Exactly. Hey, I want to start out right away with something I've kind of figured out here, Matt. You know, we're going under this quarantine, okay? And some people are calling it a coronacation. Certainly not for me, but I think I've figured it out. I think it's a conspiracy. I really do. Yeah. You know, coronavirus. Okay. And then what happened today, right before we went on the air, was President Trump came on and he used the Defense Production Act to tell General Motors to make ventilators. Okay?
Face masks. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Are you with me so far? Well, we'll see. I think this is a big conspiracy that no one who ordered a Corvette is ever going to get their cars. First, it was the strike, the GM strike. Now it's this. These poor people are never going to see their Corvettes show up in their driveways, I think.
I think you're right. I think a lot of things are going to be delayed. It's interesting that you say that because other cars, like I believe the Mach-E, the electric SUV, is going to be delayed a little bit too. A little weird that Trump is like enacting this law, rule, or whatever, saying we want the guys to make face masks because I'm pretty sure they already said we're willing to do it anyway.
Well, they did. They said they were working on them round the clock, and but there's some
Toyota
kind of
3D printing them.
Well, Toyota's doing face masks, and they're actually doing ventilators, actually pumping units at General Motors, and they're talking about, 200,000 of them. But there's some animosity between the CEO of General Motors and Trump because they were going back this morning and, back and forth and all that. But he pulled out the big guns, man. He pulled out the Defense Production Act and told him, which really he should have done a long time ago, in my opinion. But what I want to know.
Or just ask nicely.
Yeah.
Just ask nicely. Go, hey, who could help us? One of the things that I saw that I thought was good, commendable, is, in our world with these aftermarket companies, I know that you're familiar with the guys over at Steeda that do the Steeda Mustang, vehicles. They had they were out of South Florida for the longest time. I believe they still have a place there, but I forgot where, Georgia, something like that. They have their bigger facility near a racetrack and all their CNC machines.
Yeah, they've got their own track and everything, yes.
Yeah, I don't know that they even have, the connection to the government or whoever to make these masks. So they just put it out there. They just said, hey, man, we've got a huge facility. We've got thousands of square feet. We've got machines. We've got some people available. We're available for you. You tell us what you need, and we're going to help make it. They just did, an open call for their facility and said, hey, government or medical or whatever, you let us know what we can do to help. I thought that was kind of cool for them.
No, it's commendable. There's a lot of people that are jumping in, a lot of companies that are saying, what can we do? What can we make? And, just to keep people moving ahead, keep them employed, keep them going, keep them clean, keep them safe. And in some cases save their lives, this is just such a crazy, unprecedented time. And it's, this Defense Production Act is amazing. And the fact that it's up to make this stuff and to get GM going and everything like that, it's wild. Now, would it be inappropriate to ask if, they'll be later producing a Z06 version of that, of that unit, of that ventilator?
I don't know. It's very possible. We'll see how it goes.
One of the things that we've been saying around here is we came up with a little slogan, of course, because of the Bond Speed Wheels, and it's Keep America Rolling. And our buddy Dave Merrick did a really cool little cartoon, and it's something that we're going to put up on social media just to kind of – kind of invigorate people, keep them pumped up and keep them going. And it's Keep America Rolling. We just got to keep that spirit going. And it's,
I like it.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. We've got all these factories idled. I'm not building any wheels, and that's scary as hell because, not only is it the employees and the, all of, our suppliers, but it's also just the fact that nothing's happening and we don't know when it's going to happen. That's probably the scariest part. If we knew, in a week and a half or in 2 weeks, then you can plan. But right now, the governor of California came on yesterday and he said, folks, this could be another 8 weeks. And then the former CEO of Microsoft, he came on and he goes, we really should keep everything idled until at least July or August. I'm like, no, God, you want to put everybody out of business?
It's going to be tough. There's going to be this balance where, we want everybody to stay in and be safe, but at some point, without any commerce happening, what are you going to do? Already people are, struggling to pay bills, to pay rent, to anything, just keep the lights on. And there's not a whole lot we can do about it now. And sure, a stimulus check, would help a little bit to a lot of people. But it's not going to change the world.
No, it's not going to keep America rolling, that's for sure. And now we're hearing, you know, China said that, you know, oh, everything's good, everything's great. However, that's them telling us that because they kicked out all of the journalists and shut their borders down. So who really knows what's going on there, especially when we find out that things like all the movie theaters that got opened back up are now closed back up, and they're saying there's some more, you know. And that's what's so strange about this virus is that it lives on surfaces for so long. It keeps metamorphizing. Is that right? Metamorphizing? Morphing. I'm going to just say morphing. That way I don't have to worry about that word. And so it's crazy. It's now my second conspiracy theory of the show is that this is actually an alien invasion, and they're just very tiny aliens. And see, we expected these giant robots to be landing with lasers and things like that, but this is actually just a very tiny alien invasion. Can you imagine if that was like what it was? You know, we've always seen these movies of like, you know, the end of worlds, and it's this big battle, and these guys just go, we don't need to do that. We just go in, get in their lungs, and they die. Yeah, we're done. We've got Earth. So, see, they never had a Star Trek like that, so nobody's prepared. So it's, you know what? Let's talk. I mean, we're gonna bring this up through the show, but let's get on some good stuff, Matt. I mean, you know, before we do though, I want to tell you about something, and I want to tell you about a project that I've been working on because we kind of touched on how companies are going well. I've been sitting around and I've been saying to myself, what do I do? I can't build wheels.
Uh-huh.
And I am launching this week a brand new company, and I'm being totally serious here. It's I've already in the last 2 weeks, I started ordering equipment, all of the goods. We've had packaging printed. We built the website. And it's called Touch It Safe. It's a natural rubber latex finger protection that is super easy compared to rubber gloves. And it came to me when people were telling me that they're never going to touch money again. The money could have the virus on it. It's dirty. And I said, well, yeah, you're going to use your credit card, your debit card. And they said, absolutely. And I said, but what about all those keypads that you touch? What about all of the touch screens? What about at the gas pump? What about, you know, just go down the line of all the places. And so, rubber gloves are hard to put on. You're not going to carry them around in your pocket. These are discreet. They're easy to use. You just roll them on, roll them off, and dispose of them. Super easy. And, I want everybody to check them out because I did this to help people because I want people to be safe. I don't want them because I talked to people that said, I'm not going to wear rubber gloves. I'm not going to, I'll just wash my hands. But we're out in the world, and this is going to be from now on. So touchitsafe.com is launched, and we're going to be pushing it. We got a lot of great ideas, and it's already gotten a great response. So, check it out and let me know what you guys think. I mean, it's one of those things that everybody can use, and that's how we're kind of, you know, like everyone else, trying to change your company to make it work, and that's going to, you know, hopefully, keep us rolling and keep us going so that when everything straightens out, we can open up Bond Speed Wheels, start building wheels again, and keep doing this as well. So, along that lines, I want to know what you guys are doing. Matt wants to know what you guys are doing. And I'm sure that Aaron, even though he's grocery shopping right now, wants to know what you're doing too, right? And, send us some photos, man. Send them to us on, social media. Show us your shop. Show us what you're doing at your work. Anything, man. We want to hear what you're doing and send us, send us your tools. You can put them in a priority mailbox. Don't send us your tools. But send us your photos. Well, they can send us their tools if they got, especially if you got some really good ones like Mac or Snap-on or something like that. We could split those up. Don't you think, Matt?
Yeah.
Hell
Let's
yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, tell them the bad news, though. The bad news about the Indy 500. American tradition, brother.
Well, the Indy 500, a little bit of bad news, but not the worst news. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen in May. It's going to be pushed to August. They're saying August 23rd. They're certainly putting things in motion to make that happen. I'm a little skeptical on everything at this point. We don't know what's going to happen as soon as August. That's going to come up quicker than we think.
No kidding.
As you know, we're all hoping for the best, and we hope we still have, Monterey Car Week and Pebble Beach and the Rolex Historics and hopefully, Indy 500, the Goodwood Revival, which is in the UK usually in September.
Woodward Dream Cruise, all this
stuff. Yeah, Woodward Dream Cruise. We do know.
SEMA Show.
They're moving forward with that, so we're going to see how that happens. We do know that, of course, Long Beach Grand Prix is canceled this year. They're just going to do it next year, next April. They're
right.
Not even trying to get it on schedule for this year. The Goodwood Festival of Speed, which is the hill climb, that has been canceled as well. And I don't know if they're going to be rescheduling or if they're just going to not do it and just hope to do the revival in September,
Matt?
I believe. Yeah,
Matt,
yeah.
This was supposed to be the good news portion.
the good news is people are still moving forward with the fun stuff in as far as the vehicles that are being developed. I don't know if you've seen this, but there's been talk for a while now of the Ram 1500 TRX. This is Ram's version of a Raptor competitor.
Yeah, we've talked about it. And that sounds cool. What have you heard?
Yeah. Well, they've been doing more testing on it, so more spy photos are coming out. We're starting to see the flared fenders, and we're starting to see the amber marker lights that indicate a wide vehicle. Like the Raptor has them in the grill. And it looks like the Ram is going to have them on the hood or in a hood scoop type of area. And now everything is pointing toward a Hellcat engine. This thing could have the 707 horsepower engine in it. That's kind of badass. Now, the first Raptor that had the 6.2 liter with 400 horsepower, the new one is 450 horsepower turbocharged. But the first one was interesting. I drove the 6.2 liter, and then I drove a Roush version, which was 600 horsepower. It was supercharged. The 6.2 liter is supercharged. That thing was badass, and that thing really kind of felt like that's what it needed. But to see Ram step up with potentially a 700-plus horsepower version, and by the way, that's just from the factory. We already know, you're a tune and a pulley away from a hell of a lot more horsepower than that. There's going to be guys running out there, running around with 1,000 horsepower off-road trucks.
Yeah, that's
he's ran.
That's amazing. That's wow. I hope to see that happen. I hope
I'm. It's interesting because, I do CarCast with Hilberg, and he has a Ram truck that he was going to put a supercharger on, but instead he's working with the guys at Gearhead Fabrications and I think Speedcore, and they were going to do a Hellcat engine swap in his truck. He's got the 4x4 version of the truck.
Right.
So he's going to do a Hellcat swap in it already, and I think it's because he has an engine. I think one of his cars is getting an engine swap, so he has a spare Hellcat engine.
Oh, who doesn't? Everybody's got one of those.
I think his Dodge Charger or something is getting like a twin turbo engine swap, so they're going to just pop this whole engine out of that and maybe put it in his truck, which is going to be interesting. So we're going bigger and better horsepower, bigger engine, bigger horsepower in that. Meanwhile, Aston Martin, on the other hand, I don't know if you've heard about Aston Martin's move, but
their
Aston
Valkyrie?
Martin has been the Velara. Yeah, the Velara. They are Aston Martin is developing their own engine in house, which they haven't done since like 1969. But it's a 3-liter turbocharged V6, and this is going to be the basis of all of their powertrains for the most part. However, although it will be efficient and put out good horsepower, it will be paired with a hybrid electric powertrain as well. And in the Velara, it could have as much as 700 horsepower combined, but something like the Aston Martin Vantage.
Yeah.
We have the DB9 and the DBS with the 12-cylinder, which I think they'll continue to do. But the V8 version, we know that engine is sourced from AMG. But AMG is going to get away from making that engine. They're going to go to a smaller, probably turbocharged engine as well. So as that engine starts to go away, Aston Martin wants to do their V6 with a hybrid powertrain. So it's likely we could see something like a 400 to 500 horsepower total combined horsepower in Vantage with this 3-liter V6 along with an electric motor, some sort of hybrid power. So it'd be kind of interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool.
It's inevitable as a small manufacturer, they do have to eventually move toward this because we have our sort of fleet EPA standards. We have that company-wide gas mileage goal that everybody needs to hit.
It's like kind of that averaging. So
yeah, and you guys know about it. We talk about it all the time. You know, it's like for every F-150, you have to sell a couple of Fiestas. But although we don't really have those anymore, but you guys get the ideas. We need to sell something incredibly fuel efficient, 3 or 4 of those for every one vehicle that's less efficient. But it's company wide. And if you think about a big company like a Ford or GM or a Volkswagen, VW, which owns Porsche and so many other brands, there's a lot of small vehicles, small SUVs, small cars out there that do very well on the gas mileage side. And it makes up for some of the trucks and things like that don't do as well. But it's tougher for an Aston Martin to meet those standards because they don't have a lot in their lineup. So this is a big step forward for them on not just making their own in-house fuel-efficient engine, but combining it with a hybrid powertrain.
Yeah, to hit their
cool
standards. Yeah, no, it is cool. Hey, speaking of kind of different, smaller vehicles, were you ever a fan when you were a kid, of like those Honda, trail cubs? Do you remember those? Like the Super Cub 125, it had kind of that modular aluminum body that went down, and you'd see kids ride them on the streets and, teenagers and, people riding them to the beach and around Arizona or whatever. Do you remember those?
Yeah. Kind of like a motorcycle, kind of a scooter.
It wasn't like a pedal scooter. It was more like a motorbike, but not a full motorcycle. And they re-released the Super Cub C125, about maybe 2 years ago, and they looked great. They looked they didn't change them much. Honda did a great job. Well, they just announced that they're coming out with the Honda Hunter Cub, which is a CT125. It's basically a trail version, and it's got that same kind of retro look. But the difference is, it has bigger tires, it has more suspension travel, it has a much stronger frame and a skid plate so that you can take it, off-roading, and it's got a double seat plus a little, luggage rack. And so if you wanted to kind of explore some trails or something, I mean, it's not a Hellcat, it's only got 8.7 horsepower, but it's got 8.1 foot-pounds of torque. It's only got a 1.5-gallon tank, so you're going to have to take some extra if you're going way back into the mountains. The bad news is it's only available in Japan now, but they're saying maybe in the U.S.
I was just going to ask if it's available in the U.S.
See, the, The Super Cub is available over here right now. But the
it is.
Yeah. But this one's only available in Japan. They're saying it's going to come to the USA. Now, with all this going on, well, yeah, I'm sure that's all delayed again. But it's a $4,000 bike, and it's pretty cool because you could kind of get that retro look and do what you wanted to do, ride it on the street, but ride it on a trail. And, I dig one of those. I could go for one of those. I've been wanting a motorcycle or some kind of bike. I don't know if you saw I put up online. I said, hey, everybody, I've got a Bonneville 1248 that retails for $3,900. It's one of my top-end watches. And I said, anybody want to trade it for a motorcycle? Let me know. And had a couple of guys get a hold of me, but I didn't want some of the bikes that, you know, like one guy, well, you know, it's really nice. It's this, it's that. Now it needs a carburetor, and it does need some ignition. And I'm like, no, I don't want a project. I want something I can jump on, put plates on, and ride, you know? So
I don't know, man. I think you just go over to the Honda dealer and try to trade them because these Super Cubs are like $3,600.
Exactly. They're cool.
They're like brand new.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you should just go, just wear your watch to the dealer and be like, I'll just trade this straight up.
Hey, you want to buy a watch? No, they're cool. Hey, have you been doing any video conferencing with this whole thing? I mean, everybody's doing it.
Yeah, we've been using that Zoom software similar to Skype, and we've been that's how we're doing all of our podcasting. And of course, everything sounds like we're in a tunnel or on a phone, so we apologize for all that stuff. Although we shifted here, I don't know if it makes that much difference.
Come on, now. Come on. Sounds like we're in the garage.
Everyone over at Corolla Digital is doing the same thing. Adam's been podcasting from home. We're all trying to kind of scramble and get.
You're all trying to kind of match the sound of Shift and Steer.
Yeah, right. We want to do it. We want to make shows. So you know, we'll see how. We're going to be a little bit of trade off as far as the quality of stuff, but otherwise, we're doing it.
The reason I ask is because. Did you see what Audi did? The car manufacturer.
Oh, I did. I think they're doing green screen,
electronic video conferencing walls, so you can choose what's behind you instead of your dirty laundry hanging over the bed frame, like we talked about on the last show, and or maybe that was Man Seeks Adventure. I was going off on a tangent about how these pundits and experts that they have on these news shows, and they're sitting there doing it from home, and like this one woman was in a bedroom, and there was like her clothes draped over the bed, and I'm like going, hey, don't you look at the screen, lady, and go, wait a minute, maybe I should move that stuff before I go on live on CNN, you know, and it's a little weird. But so they've got like you can choose from maybe I think it was like 6 or 10 of them, and some of them are interior. Yeah. Some, you know, it's kind of a cool idea, and they you know, they're just putting something out there for all the people. So I think it'd be really cool if somebody would come up with some from some of the world's greatest garages and do them to scale so that it would look like, you know, you could just go, hey, I hope you don't mind, I'm just out in my shop. That's where it's quieter. Don't have the dog barking and stuff. And people are like going, oh, my God, look at the cars in his garage. He's got a 250 GTO Ferrari. He has a, you know, I mean, all this stuff. It'd be cool. You guys should do one over at Corolla's.
Or even better, just a garage full of Fox Body Mustangs. That would be sweet.
There you go. That's it, man. You guys should shoot one over at Corolla's and make it into a screen like that where people could have all his cars in the background, you know?
Yeah, he's not even doing that. He's at home.
Oh, so there's nobody there to shoot it.
He's doing it from his home, I don't know, gym or theater or something. I don't know. But whatever it is, I don't have one. I don't have a home gym or theater or any of that stuff. So he's doing, I don't have it.
Dude, it could always be worse. I mean, have you been out on the roads at all? I mean, I'm sure you have during this lockdown quarantine.
Yeah.
And How is it up in L.A.? Because I know how it is down here in Orange County. It's most cities, it would still be traffic. Here, it's like, wow, there's nobody on the road. But in any other city, it, you know, it'd be like, oh, my God, how many cars are on the road? But not like, I mean, how is it up there?
You know, it's not quite as dead as you think. I mean,
right.
Certainly the freeways are not a ghost town. There's certainly cars that are out there. Even just looking outside out here in Venice, there's still quite a few going on up and down the streets and stuff. But significantly reduced. I think people are taking a little too much advantage of it. People are going a little quick on the freeways here. Because
I noticed that, too. They're, like, flying, man.
Yeah, it doesn't really mean, like, it's a free pass to do 90 miles an hour. Like, you still want to be a little bit responsible. I haven't been out too much. I've got a car to test on the schedule, which might be interesting because it's easy to kind of get in and you know, cruise through the canyons and stuff and not have to stop anywhere. And just, you know, of course you can't stop to eat or get, you know, a drink or anything like that, you know, coffee or whatever. But you can get up into the canyons and stuff and probably cruise around a little bit and then just come home and then, you know, lock down again. I'm going to be driving the Lamborghini Urcon Evo Spider. So we've driven the Urcon before, and the next sort of high performance version of it was the lightweight, higher horsepower Performante. Well, the Evo is the next generation of that car, and it has the Performante engine, 640 horsepower, but with a little bit different aero and some tuning and stuff on it. So I believe it's actually a little bit quicker Performante in its normal trim, in the Evo trim. So they're sending a beautiful a metallic blue convertible with the carbon ceramic brakes, the red calipers. It's a black interior, but with a red stitching and some red accent on it. It's just fantastic.
And they're still sending that over amazing. With the lockdown going on.
Yeah, so what they're doing is they're going through these extra steps on sending it over. So the way they send it over is the seats and the steering wheel are all covered. They've all been cleaned and sterilized and covered. And then they bring it over in a trailer instead of a driver. And then with gloves and a mask on, he unloads the car and then hands you an envelope with the key in it. He doesn't take the envelope out. The key has even been sterilized and put in an envelope, and then I take the key out of the envelope. And
But aren't they inducing you to break the rules by going out, Matt? I mean, this is, you know,
well,
they're from a country
where
you know, Italy has a great deal. I'm just kidding, man. No, I was supposed to get a car, and they canceled it. That's what I was wondering. So,
yeah, some of them are being canceled and some of them aren't. And I think it's going to come down to, you know, look, you can get in the car and you can drive around the PCH or cut through the canyons and come home, or you could walk through CVS and buy a roll of toilet paper where not a lot of people in CVS, but, you know, 300 people walk through that store throughout the course of the day. So as long as we're not stopping, as long as we're not going hiking in the parks or lounging at the beach or, you know, having a picnic outside or something like that, I think we're all, I think
you should drive to all the
know.
Places
I,
that
I don't
are
really
closed.
Know what the rules are, but I don't know all the rules for our lockdown out here, but I think you could go for a drive.
Well, you better hope they don't do that. Garcetti and our governor and everybody do not decide to follow the rules of India. Okay, because in India, if you don't follow the virus lockdown rules, the cops will beat you with bamboo batons.
Just, I saw that. I saw a video of that.
I know. It's this guy. He's got a bag of rice. Did you see that one? And he's on a scooter, and they, you know, why are you out? They just start beating him with bamboo batons. I'm like, Well, maybe because he needed to feed his family that was starving, you know? I mean, it's like, yeah, man, that's what's amazing. You know, a lot of people are moaning and groaning about this and that and the other thing. And you know what? There's other countries. I mean, you hear all the reports that in some of these countries where, you know, yeah, if you go out past curfew, they shoot you. You know, it's like, okay, all right, I'll stay in. You know, it's pretty crazy. Pretty crazy times we're in. Especially when you hear things like, you hear about American Airlines?
I mean, I've heard stuff. What's going on over there?
Well, they're, you know, all the airlines. There's nobody flying. There's, you know, these planes are flying around empty or virtually empty. They accounted a Dallas to Frankfurt flight that had zero passengers, which means, of course, no luggage. And it was one of those 777 luxury liners. And it has to fly anyway, because if it's a scheduled flight, it has to go. And so American Airlines did.
Weird.
Well, it's because there might be somebody on the other. But my question was, wait a minute. I thought there weren't any international flights anymore. You know, but anyways, what it did was they're making changes, and it said first time in 30 years that American Airlines, they are pulling seats out of planes and doing cargo only flights. They're flying cargo. And that's I mean, think about that, man. If you got all these planes and you got to pay for them, you know, the bills still keep coming on them, and those are expensive items, and
yeah.
So now they're pulling the seats out and making them into cargo planes. But you know, I'm wondering, how do they get the cargo in? Because they don't have big cargo doors on the side. You know, I mean, I'm not sure. So interesting. There's a lot of interesting things happening. What else is going on?
Yeah. I don't know, but since you were talking about the little motorcycles earlier, I think we should get a couple of Honda Groms.
Are those the little bitty ones?
I like
ones?
The little Grom.
Yeah,
the little Groms.
They're cool.
Yeah. I remember seeing them at SEMA. Like, and Honda always has a good display of sporty stuff and the cars and the bikes and the little things like that. I was like, the little Grom is kind of fun as far as, like, just running around town and I wouldn't kick it on the freeway or anything. I don't even know if you're allowed to, but just kind of cruising from point A to point B, you know, like rolling out to the gym or
yeah, it'd be cool. You know, they're fun. They're just cool little bikes. You know, they're a lot of fun. It's mm-hmm. Have you got to work on your truck at all?
You know, I have. I've been fussing around with this one thing. Is you guys know that and talked about it a little bit before the Ford truck, these years of the truck in the mid 90s, the speedometer is electronic. And on the back is the PSOM. It's this board that controls the speedometer and
one piece kind of solder.
Shifting of the transmission.
Gets cracked.
Yeah. So you send it out, you get the solder fixed and whatever. But what it does is it reads from a vehicle speed sensor, the VSS, which, for some of the trucks, it's on a transmission, and for the Lightning, which has the E40D transmission, it's in the rear differential. It just sits on top of the rear differential. It's one plug, it's one bolt. It's pretty easy to swap out, but it seems to be very sensitive. Now, luckily for me, the truck, although I lowered it, is still just high enough that I can scoop my butt down underneath that thing and remove it without using a jack or anything like that. So I can just slide under there and get to it. What's happening is you guys that are familiar with the truck is you start to go, and once you're getting into that 60, 70 mile an hour range, the speedometer needles really starts to jump around and wiggles kind of all over the place. And that's usually a faulty VSS. The speed sensor is bad. That's easy to replace. You get a part, go to the parts store, $25, you go, you pop it in, usually fixes the problem. However, there's a tone ring in there. So if you imagine how the system works, it works a little bit like a crank trigger ignition, or, you know, there's in the rear differential, there's a large just ring, and it's got little teeth on it. And the sensor, that VSS, is just basically a magnet, the plastic sensor, but inside there is a magnet.
So it's reading pulses, basically, every time it rotates.
It's reading pulses. Yeah, that's exactly right. However, if you chip a tooth or bend or wear down or anything, that tone ring, there's not much you can do with the sensor. You've got to go into the rear differential to fix it. So,
what rear end did those trucks have under them?
It's got an 8.8. It's basically what a lot of the Mustang GTs and stuff have, which is fine. It's good because you can just pop off the rear cap. You can pop off the cover and go in there and inspect it. Of course, you got to drain the fluid, refill it, and so you can go in there and you can look at it, but you do need to take it apart if you need to swap out that tone ring. So
pull axles and everything.
Yeah, I think you do. Yeah, I think you got to really pull it apart, which is a pain in the ass because I just had everything on that truck done. Right, I just had an Eaton TrueTrack differential put in. I had the big brake kit put in, so the axles were pulled out. Everything was done on it, and I guess they just didn't really think to look at the tone ring.
You should have changed it while it was all apart, Matt.
I know it should have been done, but I sent it out to get it done. So I've been altering the sensor a little bit. So the sensor fits in a hole and it sits flat on the rear differential, and a bolt holds it down. Now, if you pull that sensor out where it sits flat, you can file that down. Once you file it down a little bit, it closes the gap between the sensor and the tone ring, right? And that usually helps. When you close the gap a little bit, it helps, and it did, because my speedometer was going crazy, everything from 30 miles an hour up. And I filed it down, took it out, filed it down, took it out, filed it down. I did it like 7 times, believe it or not.
Man, you got more patience than me.
And it seemed to help, but not fix the problem. So I'm going to try one other thing. And I ordered another sensor because I'm afraid mine – I ordered a Motorcraft one originally, but I got it from Amazon, and I think it's a knockoff version. It was in the box, but I don't think it was right. So – I ordered.
It's when the box says Motorcraft and it's spelled PH. You know that.
Yeah, right. I ordered another one so I can look at them side by side and see if it's the real sensor or not. But I'm afraid I'm going to have to go in and change this tone ring to get this thing to work. Even if I go in and swap the engine and the transmission at some point, that tone ring in the VSS does affect the speedometer.
Oh yeah.
And it does then it does affect the ABS brakes. So if the ABS light comes on the dash, the ABS won't work. It just goes into regular braking mode, but the ABS doesn't work. So even if I swap the transmission and the engine, my shifting issues won't be tied into it anymore, but the ABS and the speedometer still will be tied into it. So I've got to get it fixed. I'm trying to find some light at the end of the tunnel of all this. I'm trying to think to myself, hey, you know what? What else can I do in the rear differential if I have to swap out this tone ring anyway? And I've got 31 spline axles, which are original. So I guess this is an opportunity to upgrade it. It's still 31 spline, but maybe go to a custom axle that's much stiffer. And the one thing we didn't do when we were in there was do C-clip eliminators.
Right.
And although the C-clips are fine for the truck now, when we put in the Dart aluminum engine, you know, with the big supercharger, we're making 800 horsepower, you know, it's probably a good idea to just do that anyway. So
definitely
not something I hope to
do
anytime soon. Yeah, definitely. Not something I hope to do soon, but I guess if I have to go in there and get the tone ring swapped out, I might as well throw some custom axles and the C-clip eliminators in there, right? That's probably something you've dealt with because, you know, you're old. And
no, I've done many of C-clip eliminators. You know, you GM guys, I have to do that all the time. You know, with those 12 bolts and everything. But yeah, and it's pretty easy. You know, I mean, you go in, you pull the axles, and you do all that. But you know, it's more of a hassle than it's worth. You know, I mean, than a problem. It's just doing it and getting everything, you know, handled. The do you want to hear about my truck? Update on my truck?
Oh yeah, with your sunroof.
Yeah. Well, I told you a couple shows back that, you know, the sunroof had come in, it was broken, so they ordered another one, and it came in. I was finally getting it. Well, you know, then this thing called coronavirus happened, and but as of today, by the time this show airs, I'll be a day away from having a new sunroof put in because I talked to them today. They're not officially open, but they said that I could bring it by and get that, get my seats redone, get my new headliner, and it'll be so nice. Let me tell you, man, I've been needing this for so long. I don't know what it'll be like to have a quiet truck and, you know, be able to push that back and see the sky. And, you know, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. So,
yeah. And I, like you said, like when you're in there, it's funny because we keep doing this. It's like, oh, if I got to go into the rear end, I might as well do some upgrades. And you're like, well, if I got to put a new sunroof and stuff in there, might as well have, have that guy do the seats and everything, have him recover the seats and do the upgrade. So it is going to feel like a new truck once you get in it.
I've got a whole list of stuff, dude. I want to, you know, now that I'm doing that, I want to do all kinds of stuff. I want to put in, a new stereo, and I want to put in, I want to go through all the switches because it's, you know, it's getting older, and you know how those switches, like the other night I was driving down the freeway, I wanted to adjust my passenger electric mirror. Went to do it, and I went,
yeah,
that's not, well, the switch has a little short in it, so you press it, and then it goes too much, and I'm like, okay, got to replace that. So I might as well replace the whole, you know, bank of switches and, you know, the power windows. Because if one's going out, the other ones are probably going to go out. So I'm just going to change them all up. But,
I did that on my truck as well, and I went through two rounds of it. So my advice would be get the real switches.
The factory
Don't
ones?
Get the knockoff. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. The feel of the switches, the tension on them, the little click, all of it was so much different than the knockoff switches, and I couldn't get the knockoffs to even work right. So
isn't that amazing? I mean, they look right, but they don't work right.
Yeah, that's it. They look the same, but they don't feel the same. They don't even really like fit the same. It just so now I've got $100 of switches just sitting in boxes of just knockoff switches that I don't even know what to do with. I ended up going to get all the factory stuff. The factory stuff will cost you twice as much money, but I'm telling you, it's worth it.
It's the same thing I tell wheel customers. Buy Bond Speed right from the start because you buy the cheap ones and they're never going to fit right. They're not going to perform right, and you're going to come back to me anyway. So spend a little more and get the good stuff. Jeez, thanks for leading right into that. It sounded like a commercial.
Yeah.
Hey, we're coming to the top of the show, Matt. We want to wish everybody out there that stay safe. If you have anybody in your family or friends that are sick, I've seen some posts on social media, and that bums me out that, you know, we've lost some people already and people that are sick. And, you know, it's strange times. I've said a couple times, it's almost like we're living in like this science fiction film or something, isn't it? Doesn't it seem like in some ways? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like it's some film that somebody wrote and we're all actors in it, and, you know, but we're not getting SAG rates and we're not not getting any catering or any of the good stuff. We're just living it every day. So we'll get through this. I'm sure there'll be car shows. There'll be I saw that Good Guys, by the way, Good Guys Riding Custom, they're doing a virtual car show. So that's kind of fun. And that's kind of cool. And, you know, maybe I'll see you there, Matt.
Yeah, virtually.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's cool is that some of the cars that are still, like, not running and like that in my shop, I could take them to a virtual car show.
You could take them. That's
right.
You could take them. I could drive my Cobra there.
Exactly.
I could drive one of my Mustang Cobra there.
You take your Cobra to the Good Guys virtual car show, and I'll take my 69 Camaro, and we'll be like, yeah. So, no, that's what's cool. So, anyways, hey, where can they find us online?
You know, as always, shiftandsteer.com. You can find me at Motivator. I'm trying to, post some stuff, post some fun stuff, maybe some old photos, things like that.
And everybody, go to our social media, Shift and Steer or Shift Steer Media. You'll find us, and we always post good stuff there. And be sure to go to iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating. Since you're just sitting around the house, go there. Give us a 5-star rating. Put Matt and Brad and Aaron, those guys rock, whatever you want to put. And that helps us a bunch. And other than that, make sure that you send us those pictures of your shop, pictures of what you're doing during the coronacation, and let us know what's happening. and we'll repost those. So anyways, hey, Aaron, I hope you got all those groceries. Misha called and said, make sure that you get prune juice. So I don't know what that means, but... Hey, Matt, thanks for calling in, buddy. Stay safe up there.
You too, man.
All right, thanks, everybody. Shift and Steer, we're out of here.
Thanks.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.